News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right here on a Friday afternoon, 2:22 PM. Hey, listen, I've got a clip for you. So I just did my monologue. And by the way, if you follow me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, my Twitter feed is called @Sen, that's S-E-N, @Sen Phil Williams. You can find on there, Birdman just finished taking yesterday's monologue, which was all about this Office of Disinformation, and put together a special, tweet that actually you can hear a certain segment of it and get a link to the actual monologue if you want to hear it again. It's probably one of the most timely and prescient monologues. I mean, here I was yesterday getting irritated at something that happened, did a monologue on it. Next thing I know, it's the national story, and Tucker did his monologue on the exact same thing, and so did Laura Ingraham. Anyway, all said and done. Yeah, this one's hitting a lot of marks, and I encourage you to check that out on whatever form of social media you use. I'm telling you right now, Copper, the Twitter shadow ban has apparently been lifted because I'm getting new followers every hour. It's just kind of crazy. It's just wacky. I mean, someone over there goes, "Oh shoot, Elon's coming! Quick, hit the switch." I mean, that's what happened. It had to be. There's no way around it.
That's great.
All right, but I did the last monologue here today, this most recent one. Just now, I hope you heard it. It was on leadership. And in the course of doing so, I said, it's about command presence. It's about the ability, not just how you look, which is important, but not just how you sound, which is important. It's that command presence. It's the ability to put all of it together and exude that kind of confidence that tells other people that not only are you in charge, but you should be in charge. Well, I mentioned the fact that I can't see that in Governor Ivey right now. I can't see that certainly in Joe Biden right now. But last night, man, there was a town hall meeting. Laura Ingraham hosted a town hall with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. It was everything I just described. Now, I'm sure he's had his bad days. I'm sure there's moments when he is, less commanding in his presence. But last night, I mean, they ought to make campaign commercials for him out of that one show. Well, there's one segment, lasts about a minute and a half long. Copper, you still good to go on clip two? You good? Just highlight the word for me so I can see you're good. But yes, I see it. Thank you so much. I pulled a section of it. It was the most moving part. It was the part which I'm still kind of boggled by the idea that I could pause live TV. But I did. I paused live TV and I went, and Charlene had already gone to bed. She wasn't asleep yet. But I said, "Honey, you got to come back in here and see this. What is it?" "It's Ron DeSantis." She didn't hesitate. She got out of bed and came out there and she goes, "Wow." Anyway, he's talking here in this part about the whole situation with Disney. And he's basically, keep in mind too, this is probably the biggest employer in the state, private employer. And they put a ton of money into politics. And they have like 40 lobbyists that are currently on their payroll. And yet he went at them. And there's very few people, I think, that could have moved this thing forward like he did. But he did. And to hear him talk about it now and where he stands on the issue and why he did what he did, well, it's command presence. So, Copper, I tell you what, clip two, let's go ahead and play it.
With you and Disney. How is this? What's the next step?
It just simply ends with them being treated the same as every other company in Florida. They're going to follow laws. They're not going to have their own government. They're going to pay their debts, pay their taxes, and it's fine. I want them to do it. I saved tens of thousands of jobs in Orlando. If you had a governor like in California, these people would have lost their jobs because Disneyland was closed for over a year. I got them back. In fact, I wanted them back earlier than they did. I did it because I cared about the people's jobs and their livelihoods. But in the process of doing that, we made Disney millions and millions of dollars because we had sensible policies during COVID. And so that's just the reality. So I want everyone to do well, but I am not comfortable having one company with their own government and special privileges when that company has pledged itself to attacking the parents in my state. When that company has very high up people talking about injecting pansexualism into programming for young kids, it's wrong. Walt Disney would not want that. And so get back to the mission. Do what you did great. That's why people love the company and you've lost your way. Maybe this will be the wake up call that they need to get back on track.
Dang. I'm just saying. Copper, are you hearing that? What are you thinking? Nice. What are your thoughts? I mean, was that straight up or what?
Yep, that needed to be said a long time ago, and I'm glad he's finally saying it, doing something about it.
Yes, exactly. And you know what's crazy is there's nothing he said that is, you know, lacking in common sense. I mean, granted, some people might disagree with it, but you can't argue with it. What part don't you like? The idea of getting people back to work earlier? You don't like that part? What part don't you like? The idea that that companies should be on equal footing across the state? You don't like that part? What about the part where do you not like the part about teaching pansexualism to minors that are in K through 3? You don't like that part? I mean, every bit of it made sense, but he had to swim upstream to get it done. But he stands by it. He's not up there going, well, you know, it was hard. I hate to have to insult Disney. I wish they would have done, you know. No. He just said, by God, here's the deal. And laid it on thick. And anyway, I just thought that one clip right there was epic enough to where I almost want to play it like, you know, the beginning of every show from now on. But that to me is leadership right there. That to me is what we wish we had in the state of Alabama. When you see jackleg legislation coming through down there in Montgomery, and nobody is questioning it, like, why would you pass medical marijuana like that, and you didn't even bother to consider the fact that when you did it, not only was medical marijuana not medical, it's not FDA approved, and you can't have doctors prescribing it, and oh, by the way, you can't have pharmacies dispensing it because they lose their license if they do. And you raised taxes when you did it, and you grew government when you did it, and you violated civil liberties by giving the new Cannabis Commission, which is growing government, by the way, the opportunity to search and seize without a warrant. All those things are written into the bill. No one questioned it. Leadership in Montgomery should have said, hang on, let's talk about this. That's one of many examples. By the way, all you medical marijuana advocates, don't call in. The show is not about medical marijuana today. That was one example. But the reality is this. Leadership speaks up. Leadership is willing to say the hard stuff. Leadership can have command presence, and people in the room respond to it. And you just heard that in that clip. We are lacking that right now. I am hopeful that we're going to see a primary season where we come out knowing full well we're going to have candidates for governor, future candidates for president in 2024 that sound a lot like what we just heard. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with number one on the Triple Dipper, Election Integrity Matters. Stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, solid conservative and just plain right here on Right Side Radio. Yes, indeed. It is 2:35 PM right now. Beautiful, beautiful Friday. Happy Friday, y'all. So listen, if you find yourself getting outside of the what I call the overly broad range of our AM-FM capabilities at WVNN, just know that it doesn't matter where you are in the whole wide world. You can go to the World Wide Web, click on our website, rightsideradio.org, and you can join the near 45,000 people who have downloaded our podcast, who listen to us live by just clicking on Listen Live and streaming the show. You can also order a coffee mug, a t-shirt, whatever you want to do on there, and there's all kinds of stuff on that website. So I just encourage you, check it out. The website itself gives you tons of information about our show, to include our bios, the things that, you know, Copper and I and Birdman have done in our lives. And listen, it gives you an indication of who we are, even as people, not just the show. So yeah, check out the website, rightsideradio.org. That's also where you can listen live. No matter where you is, there we is what I'd like to say. All right, listen, number one in the Triple Dipper, election integrity matters. Well, yes, it does. You know, serious business here. There's stuff happening right now already that is just janky. Janky is a word we use in my house. I'm not sure about y'all. Tends to mean things ain't right. But story from April 6th of this year by AL.com, talking about the different words that Republicans are using right now. Of course, AL.com is AL.com, so they don't agree. It's the big lie to AL.com. But they pointed out, the headline says, written by John Sharp, stolen, robbed, or cheated. 2020 presidential election, the top election issue for Alabama Republicans. All right, so he points out that you're going to see commercials right now, even for offices that don't seem to relate, like the Public Service Commission office. Whether the word is stolen, robbed, taken, or cheated, it says, Alabama Republicans running for office are, in his words, relitigating the 2020 presidential contest less than 2 months before the May 24th primary. Going on to say it's arguably risen to become the most dominant issue in the primary contest. Well, John Sharp, go read the polls, bud. All right, because the polls are showing that literally, like there was an ABC News poll in January of this year that said that something in the neighborhood of only 20% of the electorate has confidence in the polling. Now, listen, I believe it's better than 20%, but I think there's still issues, and I'm going to tell you about a few that are happening like right now. Sometimes it's human error. Sometimes it's things didn't get done well. Sometimes it's a collaboration of events. Other times, though, I think it's downright janky. All right, polling suggests, John Sharp does mention it in this article. Polling suggests that concerns over the 2020 election remain strong among Republicans and not just in the South. Montgomery-based pollster Brent Buchanan, who's a friend of mine, most of our Republican primary polls, no matter whether they are in the country from the Northwest, from the Northwest or the Deep South, show less than 20% of Republican primary voters feel the election was fair and that Joe Biden was the rightful winner. Says the diehard Trump voters believe the myth, said Jess Brown, a retired political science professor. See, it depends on who you are. If you're a Democrat, your guy obviously is sitting in the office right now, which is about all he can do is sit in the office. But he's sitting in the office right now, and they want to call it the big lie, the big myth. Well, Jess Brown, you know, wow. Goes on down later in the article, says the fallout from the 2020 presidential contest having been called the big lie and denounced by political scientists and others as a conspiracy theory perpetrated by Trump. And it goes on to say Biden won 306 votes in the Electoral College. Trump got 232. Well, we know that. It's how they got them that matters. And yes, there were 63 lawsuits leading up to the January 6, 2021 riot. And what's interesting is that ABC News poll, which I didn't bother printing the story out, but it sticks in my mind, in part because they said, you know, only 20% in the wake of January 6th. No, it's the opposite. It's January 6th was in the wake of the feelings of the 20%. Let's keep that in mind. January 6th shouldn't have happened. January 6th was a mistake. January 6th was in some ways a crime. January 6th was not an insurrection. But January 6th was literally the manifestation of a huge amount of dissent and distrust that was generated by one of the most screwed up elections I have ever seen in my adult life. Period. Bar none. Are there sometimes isolated instances of things that happen? Yeah, every single time. But you don't see wholesale manipulation of the laws, of the standards, of the means, nothing. You don't see wholesale issues that are still being investigated to this day that are still turning up issues like, okay, who funded the Georgia ballot harvesting, where people were getting paid $10 per ballot they were able to collect and bring in? Who funded that? I don't know. We're going to find out one day. Or what about in Pennsylvania, where they decided to just change the rules? Who did that? The legislature, as required by the U.S. Constitution? No, the Secretary of State, the Democrat Secretary of State. Well, what about states that had extended amounts of time to get your ballots in? So we had like an election month as opposed to an election day. And then on top of all of that, you had the fact that we were in a pandemic and it became everybody's excuse to do it different. And people weren't questioning. And legislators were abdicating their responsibilities. Don't try and tell me it was smooth, and don't ever try to tell me that it was, you know, unquestionable. Is Biden the president right now? Yeah, he is. Is the election questionable right now? Yeah, it still is. But that being said, it is still a big deal to voters, especially on the Republican ticket. According to a CBS News YouGov poll taken last July, 74% of Trump supporters say there was widespread fraud in the election, 72% saying a lot of fraud in the cities where Democrat voters are more common. Only 14% said that fraud came from rural regions. Well, okay. I'm not sure why that was pertinent, but okay. All right, listen. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, like I said, it comes down to human error. Yes, that's true. As an attorney, and that was part of my eclectic resume, right? As an attorney, I had the honor of fighting for a city council candidate who lost by one vote. One vote. Folks, one vote. And the ballots you have to do at the polls when there's something that's not correct, so they have you vote. The word will come back to me in a minute, but the bottom line is there's an alternative ballot you can fill out if for some reason your name is not correct on the rolls or whatever else. All said and done, in this particular case, she lost by one. As we reviewed those ballots that were set off to the side, there were 11 when it came time for certification that were not even opened because they were deemed to be inappropriate because the addresses didn't match what the registrars thought was correct. There were 15. We challenged 11. We went to court. We proved that 9 of those 11 should have been counted. We proved it. The unfortunate circumstance we had was that we fought for those 9. We fought and won those 9. Some of them went to her opponent because we were doing the right thing. We were pursuing votes that weren't counted. When they were all counted, she still lost by 1. I told the judge, I said, well, we won the case. We still lost the election. But the registrar should have had it right because there were votes that were not counted. How many other people were turned away at the polls for all we know? Well, that was one case. That kind of thing happens a lot. Let me tell you something that happened in Alabama that still sticks in my craw. I cannot forget this. Does anybody remember the little town of Uniontown down in Perry County? The 2012 elections. Oh, yeah. Okay, here's the deal. I'm looking at an old story written by a friend of mine, Dana Byerly. Dana was a reporter. He was in the Montgomery Bureau for AP, I believe. But anyway, Dana went on to later on work for the Business Council of Alabama in their publications department or communications department. But he wrote the story in August of 2012. It says the U.S. Justice Department's voting rights section sent poll watchers to monitor elections in 3 small Alabama towns Tuesday. Maybe they should have been a tiny Union town. Remember, August is the month where they do municipal elections, okay? And if you're looking back over the last 2 to 3 years, COVID world, mayors have a lot more authority and power than we thought they did, right? Okay, get this. Uniontown, Alabama, municipal elections, August 2012. Uniontown had a population of 1,775, according to the 2010 census, but according to the Perry County Board of Registrars, it has 2,587 registered voters. How does that happen? Well, that happens by mismanagement. That happens by registrars who aren't doing their job. The total votes cast there in that election, 1,431. It represented a turnout technically of 55% of the number of registered voters, but it was a whopping 80% of the entire town's population. And when you compare the town's population with the 1,140 people in the town who are actually 18 and older who could vote, technically what they had in Uniontown was 125% turnout. 125% of the eligible voters in Uniontown voted. Do you think something's wrong? I'd say, how about this? In that same election, they had the little bitty town of Uniontown, 650 absentee ballots were cast in the Uniontown election. That's 45% of the overall. You know what the state average for absentee voting was at the time? 3 to 5%. 45% of the total were absentee ballots, 650. 125% of the population cast their votes. When asked by the press about the number of registered voters compared with the town's population, Alfredo Washington, the Uniontown City Clerk and Election Manager, said, I haven't given it a thought. Well, Alfredo, maybe you ought to think. Maybe you ought to think, dang, how come we got so many votes in here? Well, maybe it's because y'all aren't doing your job. Well, technically, it's the registrars that should be doing it, not necessarily the clerk, although the clerk ought to care. Because the clerk, by the way, as much as she wants to go, I haven't given it a thought. Well, Alfreda, the reality is the clerk is the one who certifies the vote. Aha. All right. That happened in Alabama, y'all. Right here in the state. We're going to take a break right now. When we get back, I'm going to give you some details about something that happened this week that is very similar, maybe even worse. And it's a good thing it got caught. Story broke on 1819 News. You know why? Because I gave it to them. It was a good story with a good ending, but man, it could have been awful. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Number one on the Triple Dipper, Election Integrity Matters. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So you hear me talk about 1819 News, and they also advertise here on the show. We are affiliated. We're both tied to the Alabama Policy Institute, but 1819 News is tearing it up right now in terms of getting real news out to real people, right? So you're not going to read their stories and it'll be filled with skew and spew. And they have editorial stuff set off to the side, and you can clearly see it. Editorial over here, and then news. And the news calls the balls and the strikes. They have a great reporting staff, and I mean, like, they've got a full stable. No kidding. I mean, so many, like, newspapers and news outlets are just down to a skeleton crew. 1819 decided they were going to have a full stable. They went out and raised the money, and they have got a stable full of people writing good, solid stories, the kind that make you not only glad to be an Alabamian, but have a clear understanding of what's happening. So I want to encourage you to check them out, 1819news.com. That's 1819news.com, named for the year that we became a state. Well, a story that I'm using right now as I deal with number one on the Triple Dipper, Election Integrity Matters. A friend of mine, State Representative Mac Butler, he was in the State House while I was in the State Senate. When I decided not to run again, he decided to run for my seat. Unfortunately, he did not get elected. The guy who's in there now, Senator Andrew Jones, is a decent fellow, but he's also one of those who voted for the gas tax and did some other things like that. But nonetheless, Mac Butler has decided to run for his old House seat again. So he's coming back. Very conservative dude. We've had him on the show once already. But Mac called me the other night. He goes, "Hey, man, you're not going to believe this." I said, "What?" He said, on the ballot, they did the redistricting, and then they changed the lines. All right, so they changed the lines, and I think it was intentional. Somebody was trying to make sure Mac was not going to be their competition. So they had him drawn out of his old district into another one. Okay. Doesn't matter. He's still in an area where he's very well known. He's been serving for a long time. I think he's got a great chance of being reelected. Nonetheless, he says, "My sister went down to vote absentee because she's going to be out of town on May 24th. He said, she was given a ballot without my name on it. I said, "What?" He said, "Yes." He said, "She was given a ballot without my name on it. And she calls me and says, 'Mac, what's going on?'" I said, "I don't know." Mac says he did the checking. He found out that despite the fact that she lives squarely in the district that he's running for, that apparently the registrars had incorrectly labeled her. So he called his dad, who also lives in the district, who was not in it. And he called another friend who was not in it. And then, by gosh, he called the Secretary of State. He called the county clerk. He called the county registrars. He called the county probate judge, who's the chief election officer. And he basically said to everybody, I'm paraphrasing here, "What gives?" Well, the redistricting had been done so late and so rushed that the registrars have done such a poor job. They literally had thousands of people in his district prepared to receive ballots without his name on it. Luckily, only a handful had voted absentee so far. Luckily, one of those was his sister who called him. The story is now in 1819 News. Why? Because I got off the phone with Mac and I said, "Hey, Ray Mellick, 1819 News, guess what just happened?" He goes, "Holy cow." He got a reporter on the phone with Mac. They got a story out by the next morning. So the story is there. And Mac says in it, here's a quote. He says, "We should always question government." There's a guy who's running for office with the right attitude. He said, "We should always question government." And he said, "With a little more research, we kept finding another and another and another." He goes on to say, "The feds and the state legislature intentionally delayed the redistricting process to the last possible moment. which may have resulted in more mistakes like this across the state. Butler said that he hopefully the thousands of people affected by the mistake will soon be in the right district for him. Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? But, folks, that's an election integrity issue. It's not always about fraud. Sometimes it's about incompetence or at least negligence. And that happened right here in our state today. Well, we're going to go to the top of the hour here in a minute, and we're going to receive a call from Wes Allen, who's running for the Alabama Secretary of State's position. I'm going to ask him some questions about what his thoughts are on it. But Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, according to Jurist.com and other periodicals that have it, dated yesterday, just signed a new law. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, according to Jurist.com, signed what they call a controversial piece of legislation called SB, Senate Bill 524, into law. The bill purports to ensure that Florida continues to have secure and accurate elections. It increases penalties for violations of election laws. It mandates closer attention to the voting rolls, hallelujah, and it creates an Office of Election Crimes and Security within the Florida Department of State. And additionally, the Department of State must also make recommendations by February 1st of next year on how to strengthen voter identification requirements for mail-in ballots. I'm going to tell you, folks, election integrity matters. People still care. It's not like this is gone. And you know what? I'm looking at another article right here from Michigan. And it says that literally in Michigan, it's one of the biggest issues in the campaign season. That's not just here in Alabama. That's not just down in Florida. That's not just the Southeast. That's all across the nation. Article from MLive.com, dated this week. Michigan, they care there too. All right, listen, we're taking a news break. When we come back from hearing what ABC News has to say that's probably wrong, we'll come back and go to a phone call with State Representative Wes Allen running for Secretary of State. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.